And our second passage today comes from the book of Genesis. And it's kind of a fun passage. This, the whole story of Abraham in our scripture is really great fun. It starts in chapter 12, and we get to read about Abram and Abram becoming Abraham and Sarai becoming Sarah. She by the way, is the only woman in the Bible that has her name changed as she steps into holier space. But I thought that the reason I love this story today is because it's Father's Day. And we oftentimes think of Abraham as the father of our faith and of our tradition, and that people trace their lineage back through Abraham. And I don't know about you all. My dad was a very wonderful man. And he had feet of clay. You know, and I think probably most of us, some of the best memories we have of our own fathers or of our own selves as being fathers might actually be from those moments when our tremendous imperfections showed through in all their glory. And so we have Abraham before us today, and I'm going to go ahead and read the passage, and then I want to tell some stories around this passage just to give a sense of who this person to whom many nations now trace their faith ancestry. A little bit about who he was and how God loves him profoundly and anyway. So hear now the word of God as it comes to us from Genesis chapter 18 and verses 1 to 15. So the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, and he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and he saw three men standing near him. And when he saw them, he ran to the tent entrance to meet them, from the tent entrance to meet them. And he bowed down to the ground and he said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that, you may pass on. And since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Well, do as you have said." And so Abraham hastened to the tent to tell Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour and knead it and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and he took a calf, tender and good, and he gave it to a servant who hastened to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared, and he set them before the wanderers. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And then the men said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And Abraham said, "Well, they're in the tent." Then one said, "I shall surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. And Sarah was old and had ceased, and it had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And so Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too wonderful for God?'" At the set season, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. But Sarah denied laughing, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And the man said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." Let us pray. The Spirit of God, descend on me and descend on us. May your word this day bring delight. And may it not return empty. In Christ's name, amen. So So I just kind of laugh at this because by now Sarah is 90, Abraham is 100. I love the vision of Abraham sitting in the door of his tent, and he sees these three visitors, and I visualize this 100-year-old man running out of the tent. And I've seen, well, actually I've not seen many 100-year-old people run, but I'm thinking it doesn't look like a marathoner. So he's going out and he's doing what he does, and I love that story, you know. So here they are, very old, but you know, they've been very old pretty much since we first met Abraham. He must have been well into his 60s, maybe 70, maybe more, when God called him and invited him to go forth and to find a land that was going to be shown to him that he would inherit, and that he would inherit and his offspring would populate, and that through him all nations of the world would count themselves blessed. The Abraham who when he was well over 75, was told to look up into the heavens and count the stars, and to know that his descendants would be greater than the number of stars that are in the sky. The Abraham who I think, kind of like most all of us, bumps up against our own biological clocks and is thinking, you know, I wonder if God is okay here. I wonder if maybe God's getting a little bit senile. Maybe God got a little, you know, does God not know how old we are? How emptied out our bodies are? How tired we are? Is God, what's God talking about in this circumstance where God is saying whatever it is God's saying? So they start off, and shortly after God calls Abraham, there's a famine in the land that God's going to give to Abraham, which should have been a warning. But what he did during the famine, Abraham decides to go down into Egypt, and he's going down into Egypt. They're getting close. And at this point, Abraham's 75, his wife, Sarah, is 65. And he says, you know, when we go into Egypt, you are such an attractive woman that to keep me safe, how about if you just say you're my sister so that nobody kills me so they can have you? And so they went down, and the Pharaoh saw Sarah and was just beside himself. So he asked about her and found out that she was Abraham's sister, and so he invited her to become part of his harem, and so she was kind of going to do that, and then God intervened, and didn't happen. But what happened instead? I love the sound effects here. So the Pharaoh makes Abram rich, and then Abram, you know, I think of this person, a man of God, the father of our faith. And here is here's Abraham, and he says, "Oh Lord, woe is me, because a servant in my house is going to inherit my wealth because I don't have a child." And this is when he's getting to be about 80, 85 years old. And so God says, "No, it'll be your own child." But Abraham's kind of doing his whiny thing. So you got this guy. One, he lies about his wife in order to protect himself. And then he spends a little bit of time complaining about God and what God's doing. And then he's kind of given up on God. And so he takes for himself a mistress, a concubine from among Sarah's servants, and a woman named Hagar. And with this woman, he produces a child whose name is Ishmael. And so he's also Abraham. So he's kind of going through. He's got God's promise on the one side, and he's got the desire to make things happen his way on the other. Anybody know that kind of story? How we'd just kind of like to bend the world around so that it unfolds the way that we want it to. and we don't particularly need to listen to God and to God's word, and in the great, it'll all be fine. And so Abraham, the angels come and they tell us that Sarah's going to have a child, and Sarah laughs. And there's part of me that's going, wow, isn't that disrespectful? Here are these angels, the Lord himself has come to bring this news, and Sarah laughs at it. And I'm not sure, no one's ever sure if she's lying, laughing because this is so preposterous, or if she's laughing out of sheer delight that in her old age, God is finally going to give her a child. But she laughs, and then she denies it, Anyway, as the men are going on from this circumstance, so they've just brought this news. Sarah's not yet pregnant. I mean, it's the same day. And as the men are ready to go on, they go, well, should we tell Abraham what we're about to do? And they consult among themselves. And they say, well, we probably can't, since he's God's anointed and he's going to be the one responsible for everything going forward. And so they say, well, Abraham, what we're about now is we're going over to Sodom and Gomorrah, and what we're going to do is we're going to destroy those towns because there's no good people living there, and the evil that's happening there is just so outrageous that we're headed there to destroy the towns. And Abraham says, "Oh Lord, if there's 50 good people, will you still destroy the town?" The Lord says, well, if there are 50 good people, we will not destroy the town. And so Abraham says, oh, forgive me. I don't want to be pushy, but what if there's only 40? Would you destroy the town, the city, because there's only 10? And they say, well, if you can find 40, we won't destroy the town. He says, well, How about if there's only 30? And the Lord says, well, for 30 good people, we will save the town. And Abraham says, oh, I don't want to be pushy, but I wonder if there's only 20. And he says, okay. For 20 people, we won't destroy the town. And Abraham says, well, please forgive me, but I just have to speak one more time. What if there's only 10? And God says, I will spare the town for 10 good people. Now, we all know Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed, and Lot's wife got turned into a pillar of salt. We know those stories. But what's fascinating to me is here we have Abraham, typical dad, the best person he knows how to be, less than perfect in his own eyes and in the eyes of others. But he is willing to call God to account. And he's willing to argue with God. He's willing to negotiate with God. He's willing to say to the Lord, the creator of the entire universe, I want you to be as just as I believe you are. I want you to spare a city on account of 10 good people. I want you, Lord, to be the Lord that I can hold in my heart and I can share to my son or my sons or my children. I want to know, God, that you are a good God, and to step forward and to confront the very creator of the universe and say, I, in my human brokenness, hold you to account to the better values, to the better angel that is you. And God responds to Abraham's plea. So, as we know, Sarah does in fact conceive, and she bears a son who's name is Isaac, which means laughter, coming from one. She laughed at the news of her fertility. And we have this beautiful passage. And then this is followed again by another very dark episode because Sarah feels threatened by Ishmael and by Hagar. And so she asks Abraham to dismiss them. And Abraham listens and dismisses his son Ishmael and this woman with whom he has born a child, dismisses them from the community and sends them forward. Now God has another plan, and God comes in and saves Ishmael and saves the treachery of that day. But Abraham is, I love this guy because he's so very human. I love him because he's so imperfect. I love him because he absolutely bumbles things, and yet he has the courage to speak to God. He has the courage to be a person who wants to bring healing to the world and wholeness to the world. And he has the courage to confront God even in the midst of his brokenness. We have brokenness before, we have brokenness after. We realize that like our own fathers, like our own selves as fathers, like our own selves as human beings, as people, that we are a broken bunch. And we have brokenness before us and we have brokenness beyond us. And even in the midst of it all, God hears our prayer. God responds to our yearning. And God wants us to be as Jesus sent forth the apostles, to be those who bring forth cures, those who feed the hungry, those who clothe the naked, who visit those who are sick and those who are imprisoned. God wants us to be, in the midst of all of our brokenness, the people who live our lives to invite justice to come upon the land.